The Spiritual Battle. We learn from Scripture the story of salvation. In the Old Testament, we hear how the first rebellion took place. Lucifer refused to serve God because he wanted to be equal to God. He was cast out of heaven along with his followers, one third of the heavenly host, and sent to hell. Out of jealousy, he decided to corrupt mankind because man was created in God's image and remained in God's favour. In the Garden of Eden, he told Eve lies about the nature of God and about her identity. He told her God was untruthful and was lying to her and Adam. He told her she could find fulfillment by disobeying God. In the New Testament, we hear the good news about God's response to the fall. When Jesus came and died for us, he defeated Satan. His death paid the price for our sins. His resurrection defeated death and freed us from the dominion of darkness. The coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost gave mankind the power to come against evil and to live holy lives. Our baptism empowers us in the same way with the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has won the victory over Satan once and for all through his cross and resurrection. But as Satan and his minions retreat from the battlefield, they are burning cottages and trying to create as much havoc as possible as they flee. They are determined to destroy mankind through whatever means are at their disposal. The Lord has given us free will, and we can either collaborate with the enemy or fight against him. We collaborate with the enemy by believing his lies. We collaborate with God by striving to live a virtuous life. Lies are the enemy's main weapon. When we believe these lies long enough, we allow the enemy to create strongholds in our lives. However, we also have the choice of rejecting those lies, announcing the truth, and pursuing holiness. We can't opt out of the battle. We are either for Satan and against God, or for God and against Satan. There's no middle way. So what kind of lies does the enemy level against us? He lies to us about the nature of God, telling us that God is vengeful and ready to punish us for our sins. He tells us that God is lying to us, that he doesn't love us at all. He tells us that God is cruel and unjust. He also tells us lies about ourselves, about our true identity. He tells us we are unloved and unlovable, that God has abandoned us, that if we trust him, we will be hurt, and that we should fear the future, that we're somehow shameful and that our sins are unforgivable. He tells us that we are incapable of change and that we are trapped and powerless and that we have nothing to live for. And he tells us lies about other people, and because of those lies, we begin to judge others on the basis of their behaviour or their appearance or their deficiencies. He tells us that other people are unworthy, stupid, worthless, ugly, that other people are cruel, unjust, and should be condemned. And we can end up judging other people out of self-protection. All of these lies about God, about ourselves, and about other people must be resisted if we are to live lives that are free and if we are to pursue holiness. Of course, in addition to suggestions from evil spirits about the nature of our relationships, we have the influence of the world and the flesh. The world lures us with pleasure and with a way of thinking that is contrary to the way that God thinks. Worldly thinking says that we'll be happy by speaking, thinking, and acting immorally. It tells us that we should seek our own pleasure at the expense of someone else, that it is right to pass judgment on other people. The world also tells us that money, power, and influence are the highest goods, and that what God wants is not as important as what we want. So how do we combat the world? By avoiding things that reinforce worldly points of view or values and by pursuing thoughts, entertainments, aspirations, and actions that promote the kingdom of God. In St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, he gives us a good yardstick of how to combat the world. He says, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." The flesh, on the other hand, wages war on us from within. What is the flesh? The flesh is the urge within all of us to do things contrary to the will of God. Paul explains it in Romans chapter 8. "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do." The flesh urges us towards the seven deadly sins: gluttony, lust, anger, pride, envy, greed, and sloth. And we can't fight against our evil tendencies effectively except in the power of the Holy Spirit. However, there are some things that help us fight the flesh: daily prayer, fasting and abstinence, going out of our way to serve other people. The grace of the sacrament of reconciliation and the Eucharist can also be of great use in the spiritual battle. When fighting against the influence of evil spirits, we can also stand in the power of our baptism as sons and daughters of God and take authority. If we find ourselves undergoing a particularly strong temptation to sin, we can address evil spirits directly and rebuke them. A curious fact about evil spirits is that they have very little sense of humour, and they certainly hate being made a fool of. They hate to see us happy. They hate to see us rejoice. So even making the decision to rejoice despite our trials and temptations can be a powerful secret weapon against spiritual attack. Again, St. Paul advises us in Philippians chapter 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, by petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And this is what we want, isn't it? That peace of God that Paul talks about can be ours when we recognise that we are in a spiritual battle and take steps to combat the evil that assails us. Let's pray. Jesus, you are our Lord and Master. You are our Saviour. We praise you and we thank you that you have won the victory over sin and death. We rejoice that your death and resurrection have freed us from the shackles of sin that once bound us permanently to ultimate destruction and eternal damnation. We thank you for the new life that we find in the power of our baptism. We ask you for the grace to defeat the world, the flesh, and the devil that create a barrier to full union with you. We ask you to equip us with all the spiritual weapons that we need to stand in your victory and to live lives of freedom and joy. Come, Holy Spirit, renew us in your love and set us aflame with love for each other, so that one day we may enter into glory and live with you forever. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.